right, recording. I think we're going.
Yes.
All right, Luddites of the world unite.
Only took 5 minutes.
That's right, it only took me 5 minutes to get the dang thing on.
Okay, now, Greek Club. Jeff said you're at 6:33, is that right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, you know, I just observed in looking at that, in 31, are those ever some nice deliberative subjunctives? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we put on? Now, I just wanted to comment on peribalometha, because that is a middle, and it's one of the few examples that you get of middles really being reflexive. Verbs of personal hygiene and grooming and dressing and so on like that. So what should we put on ourselves? And it's a really, really good example of that. Okay. 33. Zetaita de proton ten basalion tu deu, kai ten te kaiosine nao tu, kai tauta panta pros te thesatai tu. How does this work? Do I just
translate?
Yeah, okay. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added prostithemi to you. Prostithesetai, future passive. In Matthew, this thing about the kingdom of God, the reign and rule of God, is going to be very big, and his righteousness. Now, I think, you know, this isn't a lecture at lunch, so we're not going to go into a lot of theology, but let's make sure we're relating that dikaiosine to the baptism in 3:15, where you have Jesus says, let it for now, for thus it is proper for us to fulfill pason dikaiosine. And then in 20, where there is the parable, or is that 22? Hold on. I think it's 22. Let's take a look there.
Chapter 22?
Yeah, chapter 22. Yeah, 22, 32. The two sons. John came to you guys in the way of righteousness. See? So this is a theme of Jesus being the way and the way of righteousness, and his fulfilling righteousness in what he does. So when you come back here, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we want to ask what the referent of righteousness is, it's probably going to start to look a lot like Jesus, as opposed to like what he'd like you to do. Okay. 34.
We ask for questions after. You're supposed to ask for questions.
After each verse?
Yeah, I got a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Just a simple grammar question. just explain a little bit to me the difference in imperatives between present and aorist, like zeteo. Is there some special twist you need to give that or not?
Okay, now this is an interesting one here, because the imperatives in Matthew generally follow the pattern of 1 Peter. And they're the only two books in which consistently the imperatives of a policy nature are in the aorist. So, for example, go back to earlier in 6, right before the Lord's Prayer, where you have in verse 7, praying, do not babble as the ethnikoi. Then verse 8, do not me homoiotheite, do not be similar to them. So what happens is positive and negative commands in Matthew of a policy nature are done in the aorist, not in the present, which Paul, John, Luke, all the other major authors would do. Probably to enable them to focus on what it is that you're commanding, not that I'm commanding it to you, the connection. Now, you do see a little bit of ameliorating of that pattern for various reasons, like look at 6:9. But so you pray. Now I think what that has the effect of is concluding a series of aorist-stemmed commands. And then the present kind of brings that to a conclusion, and you have the Lord's Prayer. So you could have something like that similar, Tim, right here, where you have in 31, may Mary Manasseh te aorist-stem. See, don't worry. Other authors would have used may Mary Manasseh. But now at the end here, you have seek first the kingdom of God. And so maybe that's kind of the conclusion of that section. Because then you get on to 34. Therefore, may Mary Manasseh test. See, now he's back with the aorist again. And it's almost like at that point he's not just concluding that section, but it's like the whole chapter is coming to a conclusion here. So the short answer to your question is Matthew tends to use aorist stems for policy commands. Present stems will also occur. And those are the ones you got to explain more than the other way around. By the way, a good example in 1 Peter is 1:22, where he says, love one another, and it's agapesate. See, and the people have just stumbled all over those ones in 1 Peter as to why they would be aorist. They're policy, but they're focusing on what activity, not on you doing it. I like to put it like this. It's kind of like you join a new organization, they give you the rules of the organization. Now, do this, don't do that. They're not the rules for you. They're the rules for the organization. So, what are the rules, as opposed to you got to do these rules? So, you tend to see this in the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, 34. May un Mary Manasseh te eis tein orion. Hagar orion Mary Manasseh heautes. Arketon te hemera he kakea autes. Therefore, don't worry with reference to the morrow, the next day. For the next day will worry about itself. Notice there's a variant reading on haotes, which is haotain. And so you can have, you worry peri, or just with the genitive, or it is possible to have it with the accusative, but that's kind of more of a minority position. Notice haotes is a reflexive pronoun. Arketon, arkeo is to be sufficient for the day is its evil. Now I got to tell you, I preached a sermon on this a while back, and this is really an interesting pericope, because the whole thing is about not worrying. And, you know, don't worry, God's going to provide, seek the kingdom of God. Then all of a sudden there's this kind of interesting zinger at the end here. It's sufficient for the day is its evil. Bad. It's badness. And you're thinking, now that makes you go back and redo the whole thing. Because all the stuff you're asking about is really not the stuff about the kingdom of God and its righteousness. You know, don't worry about all this. And you know what? Maybe you better think twice about all the stuff you are worrying about. If Jesus weren't God, he ought to be. You know, I mean, it's just really, interesting how these things are done. This is a great example, Tim, of reader response, yes, where when you get to the end, you got to reread the whole thing.
So now, what would you say that makes us do as readers to the rest of it?
Well, then you got to go back up and wonder for yourself. You know, when he says stuff like, Don't worry about all this. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need all this stuff. All these things will be added to you. Well, are those good things?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. See, you start to kind of wonder, what about all these things you weren't supposed to worry about and God will give you all this stuff? and is your worrying evil? Is the stuff evil? You know, it just makes you go back in and reconsider all this. This is a very interesting pericope. Okay, 7. Me krinete kiname krithete. Now, it's interesting here, Tim. Here we've got me plus the present imperative. Note the contrast of verse 6 right below. Me dote, do not give. See, that's more the Matthean pattern. We might actually, you know, want to see this as some heightened thing, like stop judging or something like that. Or it's the maybe beginning of a new section or something, but it's generally the presence, that present tense stems, that cause you to wonder when you read Matthew. And so don't judge, or like don't judge, could be emphatic that way. Hiname is the same as me pote, lest, in order that not, kritheite, you be judged. Second person plural, aorist subjunctive passive. By the way, what's the difference between this form and an aorist imperative passive? How would that look?
Would there be a sigma in there?
No.
Would it just be the short F, the epsilon?
Because it'd be from krithane, it'd be krithete, but you got to have a recessive accent. Krithete, krithete. So when you see the circumflexes, those are always subjunctives in the sixth principal part. When you see a recessive accent on this, it's going to be the imperative.
Is that because there are actually two
Thetas
there?
Oh, you mean the circumflex?
Right.
No, because it's the epsilon of theta epsilon getting swallowed up. Not theta eta. Theta eta is really the lengthening of theta epsilon.
Oh, right.
So it's really theta. So it's theta, like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, 2. Now this is an interesting construction. En ho gar krimati krinata, krithesis then. Let's just stop right there. For in which judgment you judge, you will be judged. Now that construction there is actually a collapsed construction. It should be this. En krimati en ho, in the judgment in which you judge, you will be judged. So Luke does this all the time, where you collapse these. Let me show you a similar thing in Acts 1. Verse 2. So let's go to verse 1. The first logon, good example of logos, doesn't mean word, but account. The first account I composed, poieo in the middle, concerning all things, O Theophilus, which Jesus began to do and to teach, hon being an attraction, assimilation of the relative. Now, verse 2. Until which day? See, that's shorthand for until the day in which. So that collapsing of the relative and then the prepositional phrase into one clause is common. So going back to Matthew 7, verse 2. For in which judgment you judge, or by which judgment you judge, you will be judged. Now, notice the noun is krema. What's the difference between krema and krisis? Now, this is the difference between ma verbs and is verbs. Ma nouns and is nouns. Praxis and pragma. Dikaiosis, dikaioma. What's the difference between those two classes of nouns?
Dikaioma is an instance, I guess, of dikaiosis. So it's dikaioma is like a righteous act or something like that.
Yeah, a judgment.
A judgment. Yeah,
yeah. And krisis or dikaiosis would be judging. Okay, judgment in the sense of the act of judging. So here, krisis would be the act of judging. Krema would be the judgment you render. So you might say, for by the judgment with which you judge, the not the process, but the judgment you render, you will be judged. And en ho metro, in the measure in which you measure, that is to say, en metro en ho. The measure in which you measure, metre thesetai, it will be measured to you. Now, notice that it will be measured to you. The third singular and third plural are often used impersonally. Who will do that measuring? Well, generally speaking, the angels of God, or Yahweh Himself. So that sort of the passive is generally seen as having as His agency God or His minions, as His people. Let's parse metre thesetai, third singular, future indicative passive. Notice theta eta has the sigma and then the normal connective vowel ending. 3. Tide blepais ta karphos ta en to ophthalmo tu adophusu. Tain de en to so ophthalmo dokon u katanois. A couple of nice things about this verse. And ti can mean what or why. In this case, it's why. Why do you see... Notice this is blepo. Blepo is see in the sense of notice. Like if I'd say, oh, I see you don't have a watch on today. See, that's blepo. If I'm sitting and watching the tomb of Jesus, like the women at the end of Mark 15, that's theo reo or theao mai. But blepo is I've just, oh, I see it's nice outside. So why do you notice the chip of wood or the speck which is in your brother's eye? Now notice the ta puts in the eye of your brother in attributive position, i.e., he actually does have a speck in his eye. So it's not like you're seeing something that's not there. Why do you notice the chip of wood in the eye of your brother? But now Jesus reverses the word order. The beam of wood, big chunk of wood, you do not kata noeo, know about, thoroughly understand. But note the word order. Beautiful chiasm, isn't it, Tim? Verb, object, object, verb. And here's the nice little thing that I think's noteworthy. Notice he switched from the personal pronoun to the possessive adjective so. But the big piece of wood in your eye. Note he put it in the sandwich. which is a more formal statement. But thee in your eye, big piece of wood, you do not you do not grasp in your mind. Four. Or, how is it possibly, how do you say to your brother, Aphis ek balo, let, what time is it? Okay. All right. Let me just say, Aphis ekbalo. Ekbalo is a first singular aorist subjunctive active of ekbalo, and Aphis asks for permission. Let you let me. It's an imperative. Ekbalo is a subjunctive as like a cohortative. We're used to seeing cohortatives in the plural, like let us go, but this would be let me, and then Aphis will be asking for permission. Let me take the beam out of your, the speck out of your eye. Okay, we'll stop there.